Welcome to the program. Here we are again. I'm glad to be back with you on this fourth day of March. We're in the new month, and we praise the Lord for every day the Lord gives us of life on this earth, and we rejoice that we can go through this life knowing that we have a better life waiting ahead of us. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? We're going to be with the Lord, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. So that day will come for all of us. We're going to be with him, whether it be through passing from this earth or his return, whichever one comes first, but we are going to see him. All right. So glad to have you tuning in today. Let's go ahead. We got a good program, some good things to share with you, some God things. That's when it's good, it's the only good things there are God things. That's the way I feel about life. I mean, the best things in life are just Jesus, what God does and the things that he gives us and his grace, his abundant life. So let's open up with some news here. The Russian ruble nosedives to a new record low against the U.S. dollar, making the ruble now worth less than a single penny. And oil has soared to near 120 a barrel. I'm sure you've noticed that when you go to buy gas. We've gone up here to 370-something a gallon in Montana, where I'm at. So, yeah, I'm sure that it's going to go all over the country. And Moscow Stock Exchange is closed for the fourth day in a row. We're seeing major changes, folks. Time to prepare. While that movie actor Zelensky reportedly survived three assassination attempts in the last week. Okay, well, anyway, we know that we should pray for both the Russian people and the Ukrainian people, that the Lord will get through to all of them and minister to them during this time, and that people will get saved and not go to hell when they die, that they'll go to heaven and be with Jesus. Have mercy on them, Lord. Have mercy on them. J.P. Morgan reports that wheat and corn prices to rise. That's right. And of course, we know that the dollar store has gone up to $1.25 instead of a dollar, so it's not really a dollar store anymore, $1.25 store. But I knew that was coming. It's amazing all the years it has gone by at a dollar with the inflation that's been going on to the dollar, but it's really going on to the dollar now. Dollars are losing value. American service members are being subjected to gender pronoun training. Why not train them for war and to protect their country and to respect God? Yeah, well, what are they doing? What kind of an army will we have in the days ahead if we keep destroying it and bringing in, homosexuality and ungodliness and critical race theory, all the different things that are there to destroy America. Vehicle kill switches is now mandated on all new cars by 2026. That's right, police, governor, whoever can turn them off. They don't want you going anywhere. They'll just turn your car off and you'll be stuck. Can't go anywhere. Yeah. Oklahoma House Committee okays Texas-style bill that bans early abortion. Bans all abortion. That's right, on Wednesday. So good for OK. And a Wisconsin special counsel finds rampant and widespread election fraud in 2020 in nursing homes, which cast doubt on the election results. Well, we know who won the presidency. I mean, we know who was elected, but, they virtually have done away with the truth and the reality of that. They stole a lot of things and a lot of fraud and different things went on. Anyway, a father was sentenced to 11 years in prison for drowning his 4-year-old with water from a Catholic church baptismal pool, which was only a foot deep. I tell you, what kind of demons were at work here? He believed the holy water would get the devil out of their body. Gerardo Mendoza had been smoking meth for 3 days when he began to believe his two youngest children were being attacked by evil. And so he took them to St. John's Catholic Church in Ellsberg, California. And he told police that he drank the holy water and made his two children do the same. Well, it evidently killed the 4-year-old. He drowned in the holy water. The 4-year-old died, and the other child survived. But, what a mess, huh? Demonized. The demons made him think that all kinds of crazy things. Well, if you're doing meth, you're just headed for, you know, craziness anyway, and demons, you're definitely opening the door to them. You're doing meth. Meth is not good for people. But anyway, that's the story of this particular man and his two children. The school in Des Moines, Washington State, Des Moines, there's a city called Des Moines in Washington State, erases the First Amendment rights of a little second grader and punishes the second grader for sharing her faith in Jesus with the other students at the school. That's right. And now they stop her every morning to see if she has any Christian literature in her backpack at the door. They stop her and check her. And she's been sent to the principal's office at least 10 times for her witnessing out on the playground. Good for this little one. Bless this little one, Lord. Praise God for this little girl who's bold as a lion like we all should be. Amen. We should all be full of that kind of a zeal and boldness to share Jesus. Well, ACLJ is going to bat for her. They're a team of lawyers, if you're not familiar with them. Fecalo's organization. And they're going to defend this little girl, and they're going to help her and her family. And praise God for that. All right, well, that's all the news I'm going to share tonight, but there's a lot going on in the world, as you know, and I'm sure you're keeping up with things, probably, and hearing about the war. And but I tell you, if you go to MSM to get your information, you're not going to get the truth. You're going to get just propaganda, but that's certainly not where I would go. If I was going to listen to the news, it wouldn't be mainstream media. I'd be going a number of different places, and I do, to find out what's going on. But if you listen to mainstream media still, you're being propagandized and you're being programmed, and you're not getting the full truth. You might get a little truth, but, you know, the devil's the father of lies. And he runs his globalist news network, and they're told what to say, what not to say, and they're obviously leftist in their views, liberal in their views. And, yeah, anyway, that's enough about that. We're going to pray now. It's time to pray. Hallelujah. Pray for this country. Pray for you. Pray for, Lord, the things that are going on in this world. Father, we pray in Jesus' name for a move of God. I know there's a number of people that say we're going to have a great move of God, a great revival and all that. Well, I hope that they're right. I hope they really are hearing from you, Lord. But we do ask for that. We ask you to bring about a great move of the Spirit, and many will come to know you in these latter days, Father. We pray for that in Jesus' name. And we rebuke the devil off of that. He will not be able to stop it, hinder it, or block it in Jesus' name. We thank you for many people coming to know you, Lord, in these latter days on planet Earth before we see your return, Lord. We're looking forward to that return. We're looking forward to seeing you, Jesus. We thank you for that day coming soon. Praise God. Come quickly, dear Lord. Come quickly. And we pray, Lord, for this nation, Lord, that they will see the error of their ways, the pride that they walk in, the deception and the lies of Satan. Their eyes will be open and they will come to repentance, Father. Pray for the church to come to a place of confessing their sin and the deception that many Christians are in today, the things that they're believing that are not in alignment with your word, Father. We pray, Lord, for a move in the church, Father, a move in the people of God. You draw them into yourself, Lord. Draw them in, Lord. Draw them in. Draw them in, Father. We pray in Jesus' name, Lord, and draw us in closer to you. Draw us in closer. And Lord, we thank you for instruction and correction, Father, and exhortation by your Spirit, Lord. We thank you for teaching of the Spirit, Father, that we will hear what the Spirit wants to say to us, Father. We will be directed by you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray for every listener tonight, Father, their situation, what they're going through, what they're facing, what they're dealing with right now. Father, we pray against divisions in homes, Father. We pray against the demonic workings among family members, trying to keep them divided, keep them at strife with one another, or division, or arguing with one another, or just simply they don't even talk to each other. Lord, we pray for these homes, these Christian homes, these Christian families, Father. We pray for those that are mixed families. Some are saved, some are not. Some are in rebellion against God. Some rejected the way of the Lord. Lord, we pray that their eyes be open, Lord, and they return to you, Father. Lord, we pray for families that are not talking to different family members, Father. We pray for restoration and awakening, Father, Lord, towards you and drawing in, Lord, to the reality of a relationship with Jesus, and, Lord, that there would just be a Holy Spirit work, Lord, in these situations, Father. We pray for the families that have lost loved ones that are not serving God, that are backslidden, that are turned away from God, that have rejected the word, have children that have wandered from the way, whether they be young children or old children or adult children, Lord. We pray that each and every one would come back to you, Lord, that they would get right with you before it's too late and they go to hell. Father, we pray for that, Father. We pray for restoration to you, Father. We pray for the backslider, Father. We pray for those who are away from God. They will return to you, Lord. They'll be drawn back to you by the Holy Spirit, the conviction power of the Holy Spirit, Father. Pray for their salvation to get right. And they will come into the presence of God and experience you, Lord, like they never have. And Lord, that'll be true for us, too. We'll experience you, Lord, more and more, and even more than we ever have, Father, and in ways that we never have, that are good and that are drawing us in closer to you, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for working in our lives mightily, Father, in these days, Father. And Lord, if there are things that we need to be doing and we're not doing, Father, show us, Lord, there's preparations we need to be making. Lord, show us that, Father, that we be wise, Father. And we'd be prudent, Father. And we'd know the times and the seasons that we're living in, then we would prepare for these times. And Lord, we pray that, Lord, the people of God will pray against the wickedness in this country, those that are in the Washington District of Criminals, Father. We pray against their wickedness, Father. We pray that they'll be exposed and their sins will be shouted from the rooftop and that they would truly be removed for righteous government. Instead of ungodly government, baby-killing government, people that hate God, antichrist government. Lord, we pray for a righteous government in this nation, Father. We pray that even in this year as there's elections, that many righteous people would be put in office instead of just these people that just want to go around promoting everything that is anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-life and all death that's being promoted and this plain weirdness and demonicness that's being promoted by many to destroy a country that, that had many Christians at one time and still has a lot of Christians, Father, but many of them are just, perishing for lack of knowledge, Lord. We pray their eyes be open in Jesus' name and that you'd raise up a mighty, mighty, mighty army in this last days that will pray and proclaim and be bold as a lion, Father, your church, your people. We thank you for that, God. We ask you to bless us, the program tonight, Father. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you, Lord, that you will say what you want to say tonight through me, that you will use me by your Spirit. I thank you for the anointing. Thank you for the Spirit of God in me. Thank you, Lord, that you called me to be a pastor and teacher, Father, and that's what I've been doing all these years, Father. I thank you, Lord, for just using me again tonight for your glory and ministering to your people, Father, through the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. We praise you for it tonight. Bless each listener, both those who are listening live and those who will listen later to the program. Bless them, minister to them, encourage them. And, Father, bring them in the way you would have them to go, Father. Take them into the perfect will for their life, your perfect will for them. In Jesus' name, we thank you for these things, Father. We give you glory and praise and cover the broadcast with the blood. Thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. In Jesus' name, everybody say hallelujah. Everybody say amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Freedom is what the Lord would have us to walk in, not bondage. He wants you to walk in liberty, the glorious liberty of the sons and daughters of God. That's what he'd have you to live in. He called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Can you imagine what that marvelous light is? We've seen a little of it, but there's so much more for us all to see. To live in his marvelous light today is a marvelous thing. And we count that a great privilege. And there's more light to be seen. I'm telling you that. The light is shining brighter and brighter until the full day. That's what the scripture said. So, the flesh is a mess. That's the title tonight. The flesh is a mess. Hallelujah. And we all know the greatest battles that we fight are the battles that are fought within ourselves, within our minds, within our own bodies. And you know what? It seems like these battles are increasing in the church more and more everywhere. It appears that there's presently an all-out attack on the believers of this nation and believers of this world. That's right. Persecution is on the increase. Oh, it's just not a strange thing to see weary, beat on, and beat down, war-torn Christians. It's not a strange thing to see that. I mean, that is, we see that going on. That's right. That is in those who are not totally caught up in this world pollution, like so many Christians are today. A lot of Christians are caught up in the pollution of the world. But the Bible says in Daniel, 7:21, I beheld in the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Well, that's coming, okay? But the enemy is going to try to prevail against us, and we need to prevail against him. Another place here, Daniel says he's going to try to wear out the saints. In verse 25, so he's going to try to, he shall speak great things, words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and a time and a dividing of time. Notice, these are the days, and the enemy is at this right now. He wants to wear you out. Make you weary with his persecution, his temptations, and all the things that he attacked your mind with. He wants to weary you so much that you'll just back off of him, that you won't rebuke him anymore. And he wants to make you shy and in so into yourself and your many problems. See, so many Christians are so focused on all their problems, they don't have any time to witness to anybody. They don't have any time to read their Bible. All they're doing is focusing on their own problems. And hey, everybody has problems that they have to face. In this world, in this life, you have problems, I have problems, we all face problems. But in Jesus' name, we are overcomers, and we have to remember our identity, because if you don't see who you are, you won't walk as who you are. And if you don't start saying who you are and believing and acting like you are who you are, then you will never be who you are. Amen? And God called us saints of the Most High God. He called us end-time overcomers. He said that we're more than conquerors, but we have to live like he declares that we are. Amen? But Satan wants to wear you out. Just wear you out. Wear you. Make you the shy type. Well, give me the chapter verse for that. There isn't one. Okay? And into yourself and all your problems, your difficulties, your family troubles and physical troubles and all these things. He wants to sift you as wheat, like he did Peter. Jesus told Peter, he said, Satan desires you and desires to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. You know, we need to pray one for another that Satan doesn't get away with the little ploys and tactics of evil. Amen? Notice, Jesus called Peter Simon instead of Peter, speaking that he would return to his old nature and would operate in the flesh and not the spirit. And he did. He denied the Lord three times. You remember the story. And you and I, too, often revert back to operating in the old nature, in the old flesh nature. You know, you get fleshly, You get angry. You get short with people. You get tired of doing what you're supposed to be doing. You get critical. You gossip. You curse people with your mouth. You get bitter. You get judgmental. You lie. You cuss. You worry. You get in anxiety and fear. You get ashamed of the Lord. You walk in shyness. You walk in lust. You walk in pride. And we're going to talk about pride a little bit more here, but and you allow strife, you allow selfishness to rule, and on this flesh nature goes, see? We're reverting back to the flesh rule, and we die daily to that. We're supposed to be dying to the flesh, because Paul said, no good thing dwells in my flesh, so why do we want to go back to the flesh nature? Why do you want to live in the flesh? Yeah. So believers at times simply allow their carnal fleshly nature to rule them. And then they make excuses to excuse themselves. Or you blame somebody else for your own behavior. You know, you can blame me. You blame God. You can blame your job. You can blame your neighbor. You can blame anything to take the real problem, you know, which is you off of you. Don't want to look at the real problem. A lot of times we don't want to face the real problem. We don't want to look at that. We'd rather blame something else, someone else. It's always easy to do that. Genesis 3:12, and the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. So, yeah, he blamed the woman. Instead of saying, yeah, I blew it, God. Forgive me. I ate it. It was the woman who gave it to me. Blaming his wife, Eve. And how many men blame their wives? How many women blame their husband? I mean, we always have an excuse. But wait a minute. Adam, didn't you eat that fruit? Didn't you put it in your mouth? Nobody made you pick up that fruit, put it in your mouth, did they? Did they grab that fruit and shove it down your throat? No, you did that. Didn't you lose your temper? Didn't you get short with your mate? Didn't you yell at the children? Didn't you act selfishly? Didn't you lie to so-and-so? Didn't you walk in pride? Oh, but they were not nice to me. They were not considerate to me. Or it was necessary to tell a little lie. Excuses to excuse yourself, see? A lot of people do that. They try to justify the sin. They go fornicate with somebody. Well, I loved them, and, you know, it was the right thing because, well, we're soulmates. I love them. Oh, yeah, well, since when does loving somebody justify fornication and sex outside of marriage? Sin is still sin. No matter how you justify it, sin is sin. You make excuses for your ungodly behavior. You make excuses for your flesh to excuse your flesh. No, you did it because you wanted to do it. Your flesh wanted to do it. Your mind wanted to do it. So don't make excuses for yourself to yourself. You're going to deceive yourself. That's one way to get self-deceived, right? The Bible says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. See, a lot of people hear the word, but they do their flesh. They do what they want. They act the way they want. See? Yeah. Yeah. It's time to seek maturity, saint. Don't you think God can see through that stuff? Don't you think he could see when you're justifying yourself and saying, oh, it's not bad. I didn't sin. I didn't do wrong. Yeah. Right. Carnal. What does that mean? Carnal simply means ruled by the flesh. Fleshly, ruled by our five senses, our feelings, our emotions, not letting the word of God rule in our lives. How many people are like that today in the church? How many Christians are like that? They don't let the word rule. They let their feelings about something rule. Well, I feel like this is right, and I feel like that's wrong. And you know, well, give me the chapter and verse. Give me the chapter and verse. You can't do that? Well, then you're just self-justifying again. You're just self-deceiving. Yeah, that's right. Not letting the word of God rule in our lives. When people are carnal, self is our authority, not Jesus. The word is not our authority. Self is authority when you walk in carnality. That's right. When we're spiritual, God is our authority. When we walk in the spirit, God is our authority, and we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Right? But most of the church is more carnal than they are spiritual today. I mean, that's pretty obvious. I mean, just look at the things going on, and you can see that. just sit and observe Christian for a while and you'd see that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And I, brethren, Paul speaking, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you are not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Walk as, you know, mere men without the Spirit of God? I mean, even though you may have the Spirit of God, you're walking like somebody who doesn't. The pride stinks. Carnal people have a lot of pride, because pride won't let them admit to themselves the condition that they're in. In fact, the human race is plagued with pride. And what does pride do? Pride goes before a fall. And let me give you a little insight on pride. Pride, the Bible says, is a covering. It's a fig leaf. You cover yourself up with pride. You cover your sins up with pride. You cover your carnality with pride. See? People use pride, and pride uses people. Because pride is a spirit. And if you open yourself up to pride, then you've got a spirit of pride. It doesn't take long to pick up one. If you don't repent for the pride, don't confess it as sin, get rid of it, and it doesn't really take long for you to pick up a spirit of pride. In fact, most people were born and inherited with a spirit of pride. They inherited a spirit of pride generationally. Obadiah 3, the pride of thine heart has deceived thee. Now, man, it's self-deceived today. Because of the pride of their inside, what their pride, right? The pride of thine heart has deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the cleft of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Yeah, who's going to bring me down? Verse 4, though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. Yeah, so you think this might not be talking about Lucifer as well? Yeah, about Satan? Mm-hmm. Where did pride come from? Through sin? Where did sin come from? Through the devil, right? That we gave place to the devil, eating that fruit, even to temptation, and you've been around harassing the human race ever since. See, your pride will fool you into thinking you're okay, you're not that bad. You don't need any deliverance, really. That's not a demon. It's really so-and-so and not me. It's my wife. It's my husband. It's my child. It's the pastor. It's this town I've been. It's anyone and everyone but you, see? And you know what? God wants you to change. He wants me to change. He wants to deal with us to change. We all need to still be changed. I don't care how much you've already changed. He still wants to change some more. Change is never over till Jesus comes. Or until we pass on, be with the Lord. So what excuses are you making to excuse yourself? Huh? What excuses are you making to excuse yourself? Because we live in a time where if we don't allow God to change us, guess what's going to change you? The culture you live in will change you. That's right. The culture is a demonic culture, which is ruled by darkness. It will change you if you don't let Jesus change you. Because you're either for me or against me in your life, see? Either for me or against me, one or the other, okay? And if you're not allowing Jesus to make you into his image, guess what? The world will make you into its image. That's right, because the world has a powerful, powerful influence on people, a demonically empowered world system that is very influential in people's lives. And just because you're Christian, don't think that you're exempt from it either, because, hey, he's after the Christian. Who do you think his primary target is? He's already got the world in his clutches. Yeah, the devil does, yeah. Matthew 24:11, it says that many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. But how many know a lot of them aren't going to endure to the end? That's the problem. See, a lot of Christians aren't going to endure to the end. Lawlessness and sin shall abound and make many Christians grow cold in their love for Jesus and their love for others. the love of many. I believe it's talking about Christians and the world, but the love of many. But the world doesn't have the real love of God in them. But hey, the love will wax cold. He'll not be. Excuse me, swallowed the wrong way. Remember William Branham? He had so many healing signs and wonders and miracles that they had to carry the crutches and the wheelchairs away in trucks after his meeting. But what happened in his latter days of his ministry, he became deceived. He became a oneness with his doctrine, oneness in doctrine, and then he began to think that he was Elijah come back in the flesh. He also had supposed that angels that talk with him. He had supposed angels that were always talking with him. And another minister, pretty famous ministry, Gordon Lindsay, who founded Christ for the Nation, he wanted to have a talk with William Branham and warned him and told him, and you know what William Branham told Gordon Lindsay? He told him, hey, this is so far beyond you. That's why you don't get it. So far beyond where you're at. You know, that's a lot of danger. You ever had a Christian tell you something like that, or you thought, oh, I'm just so far beyond all these other Christians? You're ripe for deception if you're not already there. And there are some right now who say the same thing. They have something far beyond you, something far beyond me, something so superior to what you're walking in. But you know what? They, too, have received the Branham spirit of deception. And it's really not the Branham spirit of deception. It's just the spirit of deception, the religious spirit. Yeah, and it always comes around again and again and again because these spirits are still in operation today. They don't go anywhere. They're not leaving planet Earth or anything. They're still around tempting people, deceiving people, and causing people to have embedded demons of deception that they carry around with them and try to deceive others with it. But the man had a great ministry. And God used him greatly. But then he got deceived. Beware of becoming cold, too, because of what you see around you. You know, a lot of Christians, they judge others, they're critical of others, and they become cold in their walk with the Lord because they're looking at the wrong thing. They're looking at other people. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus, folks, not on the devil, not on, you know, all the people and what they're doing wrong. And they are. They're doing a lot of wrong in the churches. But that's not what we need to keep our eyes on the most. We could be aware of it. We don't need to become, or that's all we look at, okay? Don't let the enemy steal your fire by getting you distracted, in other words. Demons will slip in and distract you and will steal your fire. That's right. They'll steal your zeal. You need to repent for your pride. Those spirits of pride, you need to get them cast out of you. And get before Jesus and cry out to him to make you somebody who cares about the law. Make you a soul winner. But, I mean, these are the things that really count, right? The Bible says that he that winneth souls is wise. Maybe that's why the church is not very wise, because they never even won one soul to the Lord. I don't know, but that's just a thought. And the Bible says we're to be wise as a serpent and gentle as doves. So cry out to God for the condition of the lost. Jesus, save these wicked people that are lost, that need you so desperately. We cry out, Father, for the spirit to get born again. Begin to let Jesus create new hunger for him and for the lost. Hey, remember something. Time is short. And we don't need to waste our lives on selfish and trivial and foolish pursuits. We need to focus more and more on him, because our redemption draws nigh. He's coming. Jesus is coming soon. And we're much closer than ever before to that. He needs to deal with you. I need to deal with me. We need to, by God's spirit and power and grace, take authority over ourselves and cast down that pride, cast out that pride that deceives us, and not let it rule over us. Amen? We don't let pride rule. We need to get some deliverance from it until it no longer rules over you. It's easy to be walking in pride and not even see you're walking in pride, because pride won't let you see the truth. See, pride is a deceiver. You need to ask God to let you see clearly, to have clear vision, to see past your own excuses about yourself and the lies that you believed about yourself. You need to get yourself out of alignment with your excuses for your besetting sins, because a lot of people are, they're just simply in alignment with their excuses rather than in alignment with the Word of God. They get in alignment with their excuses for their sins. And their sins are being allowed to stay in them when they ought to be gone. They ought to be getting rid of them. They ought to be declaring war. We ought to declare war on all sin, because we don't want it in our life. We don't want to allow it. We don't want to give any place to the devil. We give place to sin, we're giving place to the devil. Amen? So giving no place to the enemy whatsoever. What does it say in Proverbs 8:13? It says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, the evil way, and pride and arrogancy. We're to hate pride, folks. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. See, well, the devil is pride. We hate the devil. And we hate those spirits of pride. We hate those spirits of arrogancy, those demons that come, the evil way. We hate that evil and the froward mouth. That's right. We hate that. We don't hate the people that have these spirits operating in them, but we hate those demons that are in them. We hate and declare war against them. Amen. We cast those things down when they try to rise up. We cast them out if they get attached. And we call upon me, the Lord said, and I will answer. We need to cry out to God. God hates pride, arrogancy, and a high look. He doesn't hate us, but he hates the pride. Because it's a demon, right? He hates evil. He doesn't love evil. He hates evil. And when there is pride, there are demons within a person. And we have to deal with them. We have to get rid of it and get out of agreement with them. We need to quit covering ourselves with the fig leaves of pride, to cover up our sin, to cover up our weaknesses, and the things that are wrong inside of us, that pride covers it up, and we never deal with it when we're walking around in pride. We need to let ourselves be exposed to the fire of God's cleansing. And we'll be purged by fire. We baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. The fire is for cleansing. It burns away the junk in our lives. But our pride hinders that from taking place. See, we don't want to let that take place when we're walking in a measure of pride. We don't let the fire burn. Because after all, we're okay in our own eyes. Because pride is covering up and hiding the truth and the reality of your condition from you. See? Oh, yeah. That's right. All demons hinder if we allow them in. If we allow them place, if we give place to them, they will hinder. And see, when you walk in pride, you've given place to the devil. Okay? You're in his territory. And so we either allow them in, or they were already there generationally and we were born with them. They're generational spirit. They transferred generationally. Refiner's fire, my heart's desire. Purge us, O Lord, and cleanse us from all iniquity and all pride. Amen? Can we make that your prayer? Let us be meat for the master's use. Prepared. Meat means prepared for the master's use. That Jesus can use us. And we can cry out, Lord, use us. We humble ourselves in your mighty hand. Let it be your prayer and cry to the Lord. We need to get on with it, with Jesus. Amen. And we need to get that Antichrist out of us and others. And out of the church, out of the United States, amen. The word says there are many antichrists in the world. Yeah, and guess what? All demons are antichrist. And some people have those kind of spirits. I'm talking Christians. No wonder they give you such a hard time. You know what? They might be Christian, but they have an antichrist demon in them. Oh, you mean a Christian can have an antichrist demon? Yeah. How many know that there's things in Christians that resist Jesus, that resists the workings and the dealings of the Holy Spirit? Yeah, I'm concerned greatly about the work the enemy's been doing in the churches among the people of God, churches being the people of God, whether they be in a church building or not. And let me give you a little different reality check about the Antichrist. Remember, the word says it's possible that even the elect would be deceived. Well, how is that? Well, how is it that much of the church and the world will follow after Antichrist? How could that be? Remember, to be a Christian and be deceived by the Antichrist, it will have to look like Christ, right? It'll have to look like, well, this must be of God. This must be something of God. That's how the enemy's going to deceive Christians. He's just not going to just deceive them as easily as the world, but he will deceive them. And he may deceive them by, let me tell you, here, look at 2 Thessalonians 2:3-4. And no man deceives by any means, for that day shall not come, except there first come a falling away, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God, notice it says as God, he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He as God sitteth in the temple of God. Where is the temple of God? It is not, as many have taught, a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem, because, hey, we know that if some, you know, Antichrist went over and sat up in the temple of God, that most Christians would say, well, that's the Antichrist. That's the beast system. But see, that's not the temple of God, not since Jesus died on the cross. I mean, know that he doesn't dwell in temples made with hands anymore. He dwells in the fleshly tables of the heart. And see, since Jesus died on the cross, we are the temple of God. Your body, according to Paul in New Testament teaching, is the temple of God. So we see here a sobering wake-up type of truth. Da-da-da-da-da. The trumpet blowing, listen. As God, he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Can you see the deception in that? A grand and great deception. I tell you, Lord, help the church to have greater discernment in this hour than they have had. Hey, we need to be awakened that the enemy is going to try to show up in the church and try to masquerade himself as God. And he ain't God, but he's going to be Antichrist. God, he's anti-God, but he's going to try to show himself as God. He's going to try to set himself up in the temple of God. What? Oh, yeah, there may be a temple rebuilt, Jerusalem and all that, but you know what? It's not the temple of God. The temple of God will never be a building made with hands, right? The temple of God anymore, it's not that, because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of God, according to New Testament teaching. We are the temple of God. And he's going to try to deceive us and set himself up in the church as God. So there is a deceiving spirit sent against the church to deceive them and make them think that Satan is, see, and then what does it say in 2 Corinthians 11:14? It says, no marvel, don't be marveling about this, because Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. See, and look at the previous verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful worker, transforming themselves into the apostle of Christ. And no marvel about this. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. Excuse me, according to their work. It's pretty clear. It would be obvious to all of us if a person went and sat in the temple of Jerusalem and claimed to be God. But not if he were to sit in the church and the believers and work lying signs and wonders and proclaim it all to be Jesus, it all to be God. That would cause many to follow blindly after him. But Satan has the power to work some signs and wonders too. Yeah. Satan's able to work signs and wonders and false miracles. I mean, he's able to do things like that. I mean, look at all the witch doctors and the medicine men and the shamans and they're doing things, and people are getting well. And yeah, they're getting more demonized too, but still the point is they're able to do some things. And so maybe it's going to be kind of like Isaac and Ishmael. And I really think maybe it's already that way, because Isaac was the promise. Ishmael was a flesh birth plan of man and Satan and the flesh. Ishmael was not the plan of God. And yet Abraham and Sarah thought it was. They were deceived. They thought this was to be the heir, the son of the promise, but it was the son of flesh is what it was, and how God would fulfill his promise to Abraham. Yet it was a mixture, not the promise. It was a corruption of the plan. It was a corruption of the pureness of God and the plan of God. And there is stuff like this going on in the church today. There's nothing but a mixture, a bunch of flesh. That's what it is. And Ishmael, something that is a substitute, but it's not the real plan of God. It's a compromise that looks like the promise. It looked like it was God, but it is not God. So it is really Antichrist, because it's against God. I mean, know that Ishmael was against God's plan, and Ishmael was against Isaac, right? Ultimately, he wasn't his buddy, right? And so, yeah, eventually they had to clean house and remove that which was not God, because, God allowed him to birth Ishmael and raise him, but eventually they had to get him out. He had to be banished. It wasn't pleasant. Abraham didn't want it to happen, but it had to happen because the promise was there. Amen. And I had to give way to the promise of God. Look at Galatians 4:22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. See, it was a fleshly deal. It wasn't the Spirit of God. It was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. It was by the Spirit. It was by God, which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants. The one from the Mount Sinai, which genders the bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar, Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. But that's some interesting words there. Very interesting. And we jump down to verse 28, and we see, now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what says the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free. But don't think that there are not many already in the churches today that are of the bondwoman. That's right. They're like Ishmael. That's right. There's a mixture going on today. And it looked like God, but it did. God said it's not. Then we need to get it out. And yet, was it not Abraham's own seed? Yeah, but not the seed of truth and life. It was the seed of deception. He was deceived and believed wrong and therefore produced something that was wrong. See, God had a greater truth and a greater promise. How many times have we birthed something and then called it God when it was nothing like God wanted at all? It was nothing near the promise of God for us. And if it's not God, the angels of darkness manifesting his light will certainly help to make it look like the genuine and even allow demons to come in through it, because you accepted something as God that was not God, right? In fact, when God said cast it out, Abraham, he protested. He didn't want to get rid of that Ishmael. He loved Ishmael and was attached to him. Same today with Christians. You know, I've told some Christian thing, that's not God. That's not real. And they rejected my word and held on to Ishmael, held on to their little pet doctrine, even though they're nothing but doctrines of demons. You know, I've had people had visitations from their dead loved ones, and they're saying, oh, my dead loved one really come to see me. Well, no, the Bible says there's a great gulf between, cannot pass between, you know. Once someone's dead, they cannot come back and visit you every night in your room and talk to you, okay? That's not scriptural. The Bible says it can't be done. Okay, But you can't tell them anything. They love their Ishmael. They think it's God, and really it's a demon ministering to them. But they, well, you know, so you can see how Antichrist can get himself set up in God, as God in the temple of God. We need to be on guard today, saints. We need to be on guard that these demons don't come in and deceive us and set themselves up as the temple, in the temple of God, of which we are the temple of God. See, he's already got the world. They're following, you know, hard after the devil. So what better place to deceive the true church and to set themselves up in the church as God when they're not God? See, we don't want to get in fear in these volatile times either, though. You know, God's going to take care of you. He's going to guide you, lead you, but you've got to want to follow him with all your heart. You've got to give him your life. You've got to yield yourself up to him. That's right. I'm yours, Lord. You do what you want with me, and you tell that flesh it's got to die. And Paul said, I die daily to that flesh. Then let the flesh dominate. Then let the flesh rule. Doesn't let pride, you know, remember, pride goes before a fall. You don't need that pride going on. And said, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. So if you have a day of trouble right now, he'll take care of you. He said, the righteous are not baked bread. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Remember that? He's my helper, not the government. Government is not my helper. Jesus is my helper. Yeah, too many are looking to the government to save them and bail them out and to do the right thing. The government is not doing the right thing. Governments are going to fail. You know, nations rise and nations fall. That happens, okay? And they're going to happen in these days, too. Nations rise, nations fall. Governments come, governments go. But God's not going to fail. So don't let the perpetual bad news discourage you. Don't let this perpetual garbage that's going on right now out there get you in a place of anxiety and fear and start wearing you out. Satan will use it to wear out the saints. Hey, if there's war, there's war. God will take care of his people. He will take care of them if you can believe that he'll take care of you. But if you don't believe it, then it might not happen for you. But those who would have believed in the loving care of a mighty God, miracles happen. Miracles happen. But you look at it, the economy, look at it, the rising gas prices, look at it, the rising grocery prices. My, my, my. We can see something going on. We see the work of darkness in full manifestation. They're really trying to manifest, really trying to bring in the globalist order of the cashless society and all of these things. That's right. That's right. That's what they're trying to do. I heard they did away with ATM machines in Australia. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but that's what I heard. They're headed toward that digital currency, cashless society, see? That's the plan. And it'll happen here eventually, see? But we need to pray against that cashless society. Because that's total domination when they get to that. Do you want to be dominated by them? No, we're not going to be dominated by them. No one but God will dominate our lives. Jesus' name. See, that's why they'll hate you. They'll hate the Christians. They'll persecute them because you don't want to play their game. You don't want to join the globalists, the one world order, the new world order, all of that. See? Hey, don't let those things get to you, okay? We're in God's kingdom. We're in God's economy. Listen, if you're a tither, you will never come up empty. God will always bring a harvest to you, okay? All right, there'll always be a seed time and a harvest on the earth until Jesus comes. And there's also always going to be a seed time and a harvest for the tithers. They will always be provided for. Always. That's what the word says. That's what my experience has been. So many others too. That's right. Some people live on 10% of their income because they give 90% away. And God just gives them more than enough, even in living on 10% of their income. Yeah, I've heard a number of testimonies of people over the years that are living on 10% because they give 90% away and God just blesses their socks off, right? Yeah, you can't outgive God. But just tithing, he only requires 10%. He said, that's mine. The tithe is mine. So will a man rob God? Yeah, he robbed me of my tithe, my 10%. You took it away and it doesn't belong to you in the first place. Never did. See? It belonged to Jesus. His 10% is his 10%. The tithe is the Lord. And if we take it, spend it on our own lust or on our own desires or bills or whatever, then we're cutting ourselves short. We're hurting ourselves. We're doing damage to our finances, right? And we'll come up short. We will. And yes, if America would repent and turn to God, much could be averted. But, you know, pride goes before fall. We see a lot of pride in those politicians. We see a lot of pride in those that are trying to dictate policy in this country. And pride goes before fall. And we've been too proud, too proud. We've taken the credit when it should have been given to Jesus, should have been given to God, to the Almighty. We've shook our fist at God and said, listen, I'm going to do what I want. Yeah, it's my life, and I'm going to do what I want. Yeah, that's the devil talking through you that you've yielded to, see? I'm sinning, God. What are you going to do about it? You know, and right. Yeah, and as our nation just gets filthier and more filthier, we better look to him. He will keep us in the downfall of this nation. He will take care of his own children. He is faithful to his own and to his word, but we need to love his word. We need to declare his word over our lives. We need to speak his word day in, day out. We need to learn to walk in love, real love. Jesus is love. Right? God is love. The devil don't have any love. He can't lead you into love because he doesn't have any. Right? The devil is not love. He doesn't have any love to give because he doesn't have any love in the first place. See? He has none. So we don't want to walk that way. So genuine love is radical and not passive. And yeah, we live under grace today. We're supposed to be living under grace, not law, not legalism, not the religious spirit. And yet the one whom grace and truth came through rebuked Peter sternly and pretty tough on occasions, like when he wrote to the churches there in Revelation. In fact, there are thousands of children in this generation that are feeling unloved today and uncared for because no one has had love enough for them to take time out to rebuke them and discipline them with proper discipline. You know, they're crying out for discipline, but parents are either too lazy to give it or programmed by the world system to do it a way other than biblically. And many adults are suffering from the same problem. I mean, they grew up and they were never disciplined and they need correction and they haven't had it. And some have hardened their heart to correction because they never got it and they rebelled. And a lot of people are living in a condition of a spirit of rebellion that has taken into their lives through this. And they've hardened themselves and that rebellion is a dominant force in their life. But you know, God will correct those whom he loves. Because a rebuke is a form of love when it comes from the Lord to his children. Right? I mean, he loves his children. And he wants to correct us. In fact, he said if we're without correction, we're a fatherless child. We're a bastard child. That's what the Bible says. Proverbs 27:5-6. It says, open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Yeah, and let's jump and read another one. 3, verse 7, Luke 3, verse 7. And it says, then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Yeah, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance and begin not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able to take of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Right. The point is, as we see here, said to the multitude, generation of vipers, the wrath is coming to those who reject Christ. And we better be on the Christ side of things, the Jesus side of things, right? Because when he pours out his wrath, you ain't seen anything yet like that. But it's not for us because the Bible says we're not appointed unto wrath. We're not going to have that wrath poured out upon us. And we will, if we're here, we'll see it poured out on those. So. But it won't be on us. We have the seal of God. But, you know, words have a great power. And many of us have needs for certain words to be said to us. Some have need for words of correction because you haven't been corrected. Your parents didn't know about it or didn't do it or were too lazy to do it or they didn't have any correction themselves. And some have longed for encouraging words too, uplifting words all their life. In other words, one person would like a father to tell them that they love them. Never had. Others, want their father to tell them that they're proud of them or their mother to say that they're proud of them. Another needs the mom to say, I'm sorry. I didn't mean all those horrible things that I said to you. Yeah. Others need some relatives to say, well, forgive us. We're sorry that we treated you so badly. And they need to be reconciled. They're waiting for reconciliation. It doesn't seem to come. Another person longs for a husband to speak kind words to them and to compliment them and tell them how much they love them or to admit their faults or to humble themselves. Yeah, words have power, and words, proper words, are needed, and some are not needed. How many know that the wrong words bring a wrong power into play, a demonic power? It's like good words, godly words bring forth the power of God. Ungodly words bring forth the power of demons. And a corrective word may be needed at times. But words that are used can be empowered by God or by Satan. Even words that we think can be empowered by God or Satan. This might just be words you're hearing in your mind. Satan planting them there. God planting them there. Yeah. Satan or God. You got to test the spirits, right? The Bible says test the spirits to see whether they're of God or not. I've been in more than one mechanic shop, but I remember one mechanic shop in particular one week. And the words that were being used, that they call each other all blankety-blank this, blankety-blank that, blankety-blank you, blankety-blank. And these men talk this way all day long to each other. That's just the way they talk, and they didn't seem to have any kind of conscience about the way they were talking. Just foul mouth, what unbelievers do. Lost people talk like the devils that they serve, right? And they had those profane spirits in them. But, you know, it was grieving me to have to hear that. I didn't want to hear it. I didn't hear it for long. But I didn't want to. But James 3:6 tells us, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. See, the tongue, hell can get in your tongue. That's what it's saying. That's right. The fire of hell lights up somebody's tongue. Demons of hell will get in your tongue and they will talk through your tongue. Yeah. You can have a world of iniquity in your tongue, right? A world of iniquity. A whole world. The tongue is a world of iniquity. And the tongue does what? It speaks things. Curses. It speaks hatred. It speaks criticalness. I mean, all kinds of things can come out of that tongue that are negative. Or it can speak a blessing. Right? You can have a world of blessings as well. You know, we could tear down with that tongue or we can build up with that tongue. You can manipulate with that tongue. Yeah. And how many do to get what you want? You manipulate. You can curse someone. And to curse someone is to invoke the presence of the full nature and evil power of satanic forces against the person that is being cursed. In other words, those words, that's what they're doing, whether you know it or not. You're invoking evil against that person when you're cursing them with your mouth. You're invoking evil against them. Right? That's right. That's right. Christians do this thinking that they're right to do it. Yeah. To you or whoever they think they're justified in cursing, right? That this happens in churches all the time, and it is pure evil cursing one another as believers. Well, I want so-and-so over there to just get sick and die, leave this church. Really? If you're thinking that, you've got a demon ministering to you. That's right. That's not right. People do it in their prayers, their so-called well-intentioned prayers for one another, right? The Bible said pray for one another. It didn't say curse one another. It says love one another. like, Lord, remove so-and-so from this church, whatever it takes, just remove them, even if you have to kill them or take them home. Right? I mean, that's witchcraft. That's control. That's demonic in origin. That's where it's coming from. Satan, not Jesus. Jesus doesn't have you pray that way. God is not in those kind of words, those kind of prayers. And if God is not in those kind of prayers, well, guess who is talking? Guess who is talking? If it's not Jesus, who is it? You're either for me or against me. You're either speaking God or you're speaking demonic talk. Which one are you going to have, God talk, demonic talk? Which one would you prefer? Amen. See, the word you use, whether you blessing or cursing somebody, can be nothing but an open door for a devil. That's right. An open door. And your doors will often get you in a lot of trouble. They'll let trouble in to your life, demons into your life. Oh, yeah. Yep. You're speaking things out. You're releasing the power of the enemy because you're in his territory. But you're stepping out and speaking those curses, those words, and trying to curse all these brothers and sisters in the Lord. You're stepping into the devil's territory. You're doing what they want you to do. And that Bible says, give no place to the devil. You are absolutely giving place to the devil by that. Okay? Oh, yeah. Ecclesiastes 7:21. It said, take no heed unto all the words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thy own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise has cursed others. Yeah, we've all done this. But that doesn't mean that you need to keep doing it. Right? Satan comes in because you're tromping around in his property. Yeah, you're stepping into his realm by the words of your mouth. Even though he may have tempted you and placed those words in your thought life, in your mind, where the battle is, but you didn't even battle it, you just spoke them out, see? Yeah, God's called for this to stop. We're hurting one another, and we're to love one another. They will know we are Christians by the love we have one for another. The word also says, he that loveth cursing, what happens? Let it be a curse. So many curses, and of course we could use this against the witches and the Satanists, right? Because they're wicked. We hate the demons that are working there. But these spirits that are cursing us, let them be a curse. But that's a different way. That's a whole different type of curse. I'm not talking about that right now. Right? But see, many people curse other Christians because they think they have a right and that they're doing God's work. Others do it out of a bitter heart or an unforgiving heart, bitterness, unforgiveness, self-justification, different reasons, jealousy. I mean, no, jealousy can be a reason that they'll curse a fellow brother or sister in the Lord. They're jealous of them. They're getting all the spiritual attention. They're friends with the evangelist or the prophet or the pastor or somebody, I'm not, and blah, 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 all this stuff, jealousy, competition going on in churches. I've seen it all, man, 38 years of being a pastor. I've seen it all. All these things take place over the years. Competition, Jezebels competing with other Jezebels, and Jezebels submitting to the most powerful Jezebel of all, you know. I've seen this competition. I've seen it. Trying to be more spiritual than one another. Trying to get more attention than the other. Been through all that many times. Sometimes I've had to confront these spirits, these people that had these spirits just running wild in their life. Out of control. Yeah. And sometimes people have left the church. Sometimes people have took a discipline. But more times than not, they don't take it. Correction. They don't want to face it. Luke 10:5-6. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this home. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. And if not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking and such things as they give. Right? That's when he sent them out, house to house. The disciples were told to go two by two, and if the home received them, bless it. And if not, they retracted their blessing. If they rejected the gospel, and you could bless and curse people, you know that? and thing, Jesus cursed a fig tree. You could bless your car, or you can curse your car. Hey, this car is nothing but a piece of junk. It's never dependable. I can't depend on this thing. I just gonna kick it, you know, and beat on your car, hurt your foot. A lot of good that does you, right? I wish I'd have never bought this junk. Or you could speak good things over your car. You could bless it. You could say, this car is a blessing. You can bless your work. You can bless your wife. You can bless your husband. Or you can curse them. Right? Well, you always do this. No, don't do that. No. That's just cursing. You can curse your home. You can curse your workplace. You can bless your workplace. You can curse your finances. Oh, I'll never have enough. I'll never get this. I'll never get that. You know, or you can, you know, curse your finances, or you can bless your finances. Say, thank God I have more than enough through him that loves me. Or you can curse your whatever. Your animals, you curse them. You can curse your family, or you can bless your family. Yeah. You can bless and stop demonic influence, or you can curse and release the devils. That's right. Strife, envy, open the door to the enemy. Right? What did we see in James? Yeah. Strife and envy release confusion in every evil work, is what it says in James 3. So you want every evil work, and just get in strife and envy. Right? And you won't have strife without words. So your word can bring every evil work upon you. Wow, look how powerful this is. And yet, some homes are full of strife devils. Some homes are just constantly speaking evil over each other. That needs to stop. And yet some people are cursing themselves all the time. You can bring evil on yourself by cursing yourself. Have you been cursing yourself? Are you prone to speaking junk over and about yourself? Well, I'm just such a big mess. I'm just such a trouble. You know, God couldn't love me. I'm so stupid. How could I live? How could I have done what I've done or said what I said? Well, you know, we say things about ourselves. Yeah. The things we say about ourselves can be influenced and empowered by demons. And the demons want you to curse yourself because that's what they're about. They get you to curse you, and they bring their curses to pass on your life. Because words support darkness. The words that people speak support darkness's strategy to destroy you. And so they plant the words in your mind, and they make you think that you're of no value, that you're worthless, and you're this scum of the earth and all this stuff. And they'll have you saying it over yourself. And then you're cursing yourself and troubling yourself. And it's a misery that the enemy will bring around to you. And you could break those self-proclaimed curses, though, by simply renouncing them, nullifying them, and in the name of Jesus, commanding the demons that came in through your self-cursing and then refuse to speak them anymore and then start speaking the opposite of the curse, right, and start speaking the blessing. And you got to break the habit of cursing yourself. If you've done it on a regular basis throughout years of your life, you got to break the habit. You can get the demon out, but then they're walking it out, like breaking the habit. That's another story, right? That's another thing that you've got to decide. Hey, I'm going to change by the grace of God, and I'm not going to talk this way about myself anymore. I'm not going to speak this to myself. So break the habit. We also need to verbally renounce and break curses others have spoken over us. People are always speaking, right? We just read that in Ecclesiastes. And people will speak curses over other people. And I guarantee you that somebody's spoken curses over you, whether you know it or not, whether you've ever heard it or not. People speak junk all the time because demons are ministering to them all the time. So it's no wonder that people are speaking junk all the time because people are being ministered to by the darkness. So that's right. Listen, let me tell you. Secret of power. With words, curses are made, and with words, curses are broken. That's real simple, right? That's right. It's that simple. With words, curses are made and curses are released. And with words, curses are broken and curses are stopped. And blessings can be released with words. Yeah, you can release life or death. You can release life or death with your tongue. Blessing or curses with your tongue. Think about what you say. Think about what you say before you say it. Most people don't. Okay? Most people don't know how many curses are being spoken over them either and prayed against them, even though those who pray might think they have a righteous cause. But still, if you're a brother or sister of the Lord and they're praying witchcraft prayers over you, you need to be breaking those things. But how does one know God's plan for another person? Anyway, do they have a right to do that? They don't walk in your shoes. I mean, remember Peter said, but what about John? And Jesus said, basically, what is that to you? I'll take care of John. It's like I'll take care of you, Peter. I'll take care of John. Even Satanists, witches, warlocks, and all manner of evil people may be speaking over you, so-called praying for you. We need to break off those things. Claim the scriptures. Amen. Maybe yours is more subtle over yourself. Maybe it was an evil self-commitment such as, well, men can't cry, so I won't cry. Well, what does that do? That curse will bring a spirit of bound-up emotions, and a lot of men have bound emotions because they think they can't cry. A lot of women, they quit crying, and they've got bound emotions too. I'll never let them see my feeling. I'll never, never do this. I'll never trust another man. I'll never trust another woman. All men are idiots. All women are fools or something, you know. Hey, or I don't like black people. I don't like, you know, brown people. I don't like yellow people or whatever. You know, you're speaking things. They're subtle, though. They're making you be a certain way, and the devil planted that thought in your mind in the first place, see? To get you to become a certain way that your words are speaking in alignment with that certain way that a demon has planned for you to become. Oh, this is just killing me. Or I'm just dying to go to so-and-so's place. Or I'm dying to go to the store. No, you wouldn't want to say that. You'd say, I'm living to go there. I'm blessed to go there. Why would you go around saying, I'm dying to get there? I just love you to death. You know, what, really? I love you to life. Life in Christ. Yeah, a lot of things, you know, that people say are bringing them into bondage on a regular basis because the demons plant it and they speak it. They parrot the demons and they don't know they're parroting demons. They say, well, that thought is in my mind, so that's me. Well, where do thoughts come from? Yeah. The purpose of all these curses, of course, is to put us in bondage to those self words over ourselves. And these things become demonically empowered, supernaturally energized by demons to hold you captive to them. And how many people have been captive to their words today? Millions upon billions, right? They've spoken things. They've been empowered by demonic spirits, and they're things are now alive spiritually. Well, they're dead spiritually, but they're bringing forth death, not life, right? And they're holding you in captivity. But these things are able to be broken. That's the good news. The good news is what was formed with words can be broken with words. But if they're very entrenched, it's very difficult. It has to be done, but it can be done through Christ. It can be done through deliverance and breaking of curses, right? But still, you'll need grace to change the old habit pattern and the old ways of ingrained wrong thinking due to your curses, your self-spoken curses. Yeah, it can be done, though. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. These things can be broken. These things can be stopped in your life, and you can have a turnaround with blessings instead of curses. So, you see, there's so much more to all these words that are spoken on earth every day than we think. These things are given life. Words are given life and death. The power of death, the power of life. And death and life is continually being released every day on planet earth by people. That's right. And Christians are ignorantly pawns of demons, and they ignorantly speak for death and don't even know what they're doing when they ought to be the authors of life. They ought to be those who speak out life. They ought to be manifesting life, not death. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, not that I'm come that you have death and have it more abundantly. That's what Satan said. He said, I'm come to kill, steal, and destroy you, and that you might have it more abundantly. That's what the devil said. But why are you doing yourself in? Why are you giving such place to the enemy to do yourself in with these negative words of curses? Oh, yeah. We bless ourselves and others, or we curse ourselves and others. We need to study how to answer and to put a guard over our mouths, lest that corrupt communication begin coming out, that cursing, the conversation, that corrupt conversation comes out of our mouth. We got to guard over the tongue. We got to guard over our thoughts. We got to cover them with the blood of Jesus and thank the Holy Spirit for bringing about a discernment of spirits in our lives to the point that we could discern our own words, our own thought life, and recognize what is demonic and what is not, what is God, what is proper and what is improper, what is bringing life and what is bringing death. Some things are not that hard to figure out, but other things, it takes a little discernment to figure it out. And yet people keep doing it. Keep speaking of junk. Oh, yeah. Keep doing it. But, you know, sometimes a rebuke may be in order, just like Jesus rebuked at times and rebuked Peter. Sometimes, you know, people, and many times he's rebuking the enemy behind the person. But, yeah, we need to die to self and pride. We need to die to cursing with our mouth. We need to die to that excuse mentality that we talked about today, that making excuses to excuse ourselves for our own sins. And justifying, we need to die to that justifying, and that self-righteousness, and that self-pride, and that self-centered life. All these are the work of demons into us as we allow it to take place. Amen? We don't want to let ministering demons do their work in our lives and ministering fallen angels do their work in our lives. We want the work of the Holy Spirit. We want to allow him to have his way with us. We live in a time that we can't afford not to. We have to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us. Just this week, I kept hearing something in my spirit. I knew that it was probably the Lord telling me to do it. And so I said, but what about this? If I do that, what about that? And I just had the sense that he's going to take care of all that, all that. It was reasons I didn't think it could be done. But he had it all figured out, all worked out already before me. So, hey, I just obeyed and I did it. And I saw the goodness of God. I saw the result of that I was obeying God. See? Don't just let things that Jesus may be planting in your spirit just go to the wayside. If he's talking to you, then listen. And if the devil is talking, reject it. Get rid of it. But if God's speaking, there's a blessing in it. God bringing blessing. God bringing his will to pass. So don't rebel against it. Have discernment of spirit. Discern the spirit of God from the spirit of darkness. Not that hard, but sometimes the enemy comes as an angel of light. Then it gets kind of hard sometimes. Especially if a person has a propensity that way toward deception. Amen. Father, we thank you, Jesus. We are wise people, Lord, in God, and that we have order over these tongues by the Spirit of God. We can't do it on our own, but we do it by the Spirit of God in us. And I thank you for the Spirit of God rising up and working in us mightily in this time that we so much need him daily, moment by moment. Every day of our life, we need the Spirit of God moving and working in us, Lord. If we yield ourselves to you right now, just go ahead, yield yourself to the Spirit of God in you. I yield myself to you, Holy Spirit. Just say, I yield myself to you, Holy Spirit. Have your way in me. Speak to me. Let me discern your voice from the voice of the enemy. Thank you, Spirit of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for working in my life so strongly, so powerfully. Thank you for changing me. Thank you, Lord, for bringing the power to bear on my tongue, Lord, that I will not be speaking such garbage in my life, that I will speak in alignment with your word and with what you want. Can you say that to the Lord? Thank you for taming that tongue. No man can tame the tongue. But it didn't say God couldn't. It did say the Holy Spirit couldn't. It said no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil. So man can't tame the tongue. It's like a wild beast that's untamable. But the Holy Spirit can tame the tongue. Have you been yelling a lot lately? You've been yelling at your children? Yelling at your mate? Just ask God to cleanse you from that. Confess it. I've been yelling a lot, Lord. Forgive me. Wash that away with your blood. And Lord, I pray for spiritual discipline in my life, not to just let my tongue get the best of me by the Holy Spirit. Power of the Holy Spirit, I'll not do that. Thank you, Jesus, for working in me in these mighty ways, Lord, right now in this time, but can't ignore this stuff anymore. Jesus is coming back. We're living in the latter times, and we want to be ready. Ready to walk uprightly all the days of our life and to walk in the ways of the Lord, not the ways of the flesh, not be dominated by the flesh, as so many are today. We don't have to be just because everybody else is doing that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Say, I'm not going to let the flesh dominate me. I will walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh is always warring against the Spirit, yeah? Because he wants his way. In Jesus' name, you're not going to have your way. Amen. We'll put you in your place in Jesus' name. I die to you. Hallelujah. See? Be bold. Take care of these things. You're more than a conqueror through him that loved you. You can do all things for Christ who strengthened you, saint. Just come on and walk in this walk with him. Well, let's just walk in this walk together, folks. We're overcomers. We've been called to live in this day, this hour that we're living in, and God has good things for his children. He's going to move mightily in our life. We're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles in my name. Right? You shall cast out devils. You shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Do you need to lay hands on somebody? You got to believe. It says these signs will follow them that believe. I believe. You believe? Let's keep believing together. Let's believe and see what the Lord will do. He's going to do mighty things. We're going to see it. We're going to see the goodness of God. We're going to see the greatness of God. He's not abandoning us. He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. This is the time that he will definitely be there, always. So you're going to get through this. You know, it looks tough. It looks weird. It looks strange. It looks different than what you've been going through in life. Things are changing very rapidly. We don't like it. We don't like higher gas prices. We don't like higher grocery prices. We don't like higher dollar store prices, Walmart prices, wherever you shop, Target, Walmart, or Macy's, or whatever. But they're going up, and things are happening. The dollar is being devalued. Nations rise. Nations fall. Satan's trying to do his thing, but we don't have to give place to the devil and let him do his thing on us. Amen? Amen. And we can resist him and his works of darkness. We resist the new world order. We resist the globalists. We resist the great reset. We resist the garbage that the enemy's trying to bring forth right now in Jesus' name. And he has to flee in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. We resist the devil. He will flee. He will flee. He will flee. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Lord. We're going to come back in a few minutes here, and we're going to go against these spirits and begin to cast out devils, right? Amen. We'll be right back.
Neither can place, neither give place, neither give place to the devil. Neither give place, neither give place, neither give place to the devil.
Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil,
as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour.
Who is it? Steadfast in the faith. Neither give place, neither give place, neither give place to the devil. Neither give place, neither give place, neither give place to the devil.
Because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour.
Who is it? Steadfast in the faith.
Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That is the fact of the Word of God. It's the truth. It will work. It will happen. All right, let's get rid of pride tonight. How about it? Let's work on pride. In Jesus' name, you say, I renounce you, pride. I renounce you, pride. Come out of me, pride. Come out of me, pride, in Jesus' name. I rebuke the spirit of pride. I break the generational spirit of pride over me, in Jesus' name. You say that? All right. We cover our family and your family with the blood of Jesus. These spirits have to go where Jesus wants them to go when we cast them out. In Jesus' name, come out pride. All that prideful spirit, that lying, deceiving pride, come out in Jesus' name. We rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out, pride. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, pride. All the way out. In the name of Jesus, we apply the blood of Jesus against pride right now. Be weakened by the blood of Jesus. We renounce pride in our life. We reject pride in our life. We say no to pride, the pride of life, spiritual pride. Come out, all the way out. All that pride that I'm better than so-and-so, come out. All that pride, arrogant pride, come out, come out. That superiority pride, come out. Spirit of superiority, come out. Come out, 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 come out. Come out, all the way out. All that vain pride that's just so caught up in self, come out. That spirit of vanity, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. That vainness, come out in the name of Jesus. We rebuke that spirit of vainness. Come out in Jesus' name. Go, go, go. Out, 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 out of there. All the way out. Angels, chase these spirits. Chase and persecute them in Jesus' name. All the way out. All that pride. Go, 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 go. Out, 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 out. All the way out. All pride. Keep moving, keep moving, keep moving. Up and out. All the way out. All that pride, family pride, come out. Family pride, the family line, the pride of a family line, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, pride, family pride, come out, 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 Come out of there, all that racial pride. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out of there, all the way out. Well, I'm a Greek, or I'm a Russian, or I'm a Spanish, or whatever. You just break those curses of those racial pride spirits right now. That superiority because of your race. Come out of there, all the way out. All the way out. Keep coming out of there, up and out in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, pride. Come out, pride. Come out, pride. That competitive pride. Come out, all the way out. All the way out, Jesus' name. That religious pride. Come out, come out, come out, come out. That pride over, well, look at me, I could do this. That boasting spirit, come out. The boasting spirit, come out. In the name of Jesus, go, 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 all that boasting spirit. Look what I can do. Come out, all the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name, go, go. A lot of people have eye trouble. Yeah, I this, I that. I'm this great one. Come out, all the way out. Go, that's pride. That's rooted in pride, folks. We break the curse of pride, the control of pride over people's lives right now. You come out of there. We humble ourselves, become totally dependent on God, not on our pride, not on anything. We don't need the covering of pride. All that covering, that false covering pride, go in the name of Jesus right now so that we can face ourselves, deal with the sin in our lives. In Jesus' name, all that pride, go, 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 come out, come out, come out, come out, pride, all the way out. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Go, go, go. Keep coming out. Keep coming out. Jesus' name. The female pride. Well, I'm a woman. You know, I'm better than them men. Come out. Or that male pride. I'm a man. I'm better than those women. Come out. All that male pride, female pride. Come out. 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 Everybody cough two times. Get them moving. Let them go all the way out. Get them moving all the way out. All the way. Cough a couple more times. Let them go. All the way out. Hatred for men. Hatred for women. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Male superiority. Female superiority. Come out. Come out. Women liberation spirits. Come out. Come out, 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 come out. All the way out. Go. The spirit of jealousy, you come out. We break that curse of jealousy, dominated by jealousy. You come out. All the way out. That jealous spirit, come out, 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 come out. Come out of there. All those excuses, spirit, those excuses, making excuses. Come out in Jesus' name. All the way out, making excuses. Excuses why you can't obey God. Excuses why you can't do what he tells you to do. Come out. All them excuses, spirit. Come out, making excuses. These demons are real good, making excuses. Well, you have to do this. You have to do that. You got to go see so-and-so. You got to take care of the dog, the cat. Come out, come out, come out. All those excuse spirits, come out. Come out, 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 come out. Come all the way out, up and out, in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus, you go up and out, keep going, up and out, all the way out, all the way out, Jesus' name. Keep coming out, keep coming out. All those excuses, spirit, come out, come out. The spirit of loose tongue, come out. Spirit of loose tongue. This tongue is so loose that it just says whatever it wants to say, whenever it wants to say it. And no dominion over the tongue is like irrelevant in your life because you just say whatever you think. That loose tongue spirit, you come out of there. Come out of there. All the way out. All the way out. Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. The undisciplined tongue spirit, you come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out of there. All the way out. All the way out, Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out. The undisciplined tongue, come out. The loose tongue, come out, come out. The snaring tongue, the tongue that's always snaring you, come out. Snared by the words of your mouth, come out. That snaring tongue, It's always snaring you, trapping your life. Come out. Come out of there. All the way out. The blood of Jesus. We apply the blood against that snaring tongue. Snared by the words of your mouth. On a regular basis, you're getting snared. Come out. 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 Come out of there. The blood of Jesus. All the way out. All the way up out of there. I rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come on. Loose tongue. Come out. Come out. All the way out. Up and out. Up and out. Up and out of there. Up and out of there. I bind you. I break your hold. Come out. Come out. Come out. The lustful tongue. Always talking dirty trash. Come out. Come out. The lustful tongue. Come out. Come out. Those lustful spirits that's speaking out nasty sexual things. That, hey, you need to stop talking that way. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. It's corruption, demonic corruption. Come out of there. Go all the way out. The lustful tongue. Come out. 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 In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. See, man, I've seen these spirits in operation now. You can see it in people's eyes, those lustful eyes. Come out. All the way out. Those lustful eyes. Come out. Come out. Come out. The eyes are window to the soul, the mind, will, and emotion. Come out. All the way out. All the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. We rebuke these demons. Rebuke these demons. They're just oppressing you and suppressing your walk with Jesus. Come out, Antichrist spirit. We come against the Antichrist spirit tonight. Yeah, Christians that carry Antichrist spirit, something in you is resisting the way of the Lord in your life. We command that Antichrist spirit to come out of there in Jesus' name right now. Come out. All those Antichrist spirits that resisted the will of God. Yeah, you have substitutes for the will of God. Come out in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out. Come out in Jesus' name, all the way out, all the way out. The blood is against you right now. Keep coming out, all the way out. The blood of Jesus against you, demon. Come out, 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 come out. The blood, apply the blood of Jesus. You got to go all the way out. All those Antichrist spirits, go, go. All those Antichrist spirits, come out. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out. 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 The blood of Jesus tooting your horn. Come out. All that going around tooting your own horn all the time. Tooting your own self. You know, lifting yourself up. Well, I could do this. I could do that. So we've had people coming to church, oh, I can sing, I can do this, I can preach, I can do this. And they just want to be noticed, they just want the attention, right? And when people come in with that kind of an attitude, we got to watch out for that because they just want to self-exalt. And we don't want self-exaltation, we want Jesus to be exalted, right? Amen. And we want to be humble servants of the Most High God, not puffed up and proud, see? Amen. Amen. We don't want that puffed up pride. All that Antichrist, go. All that Antichrist, go. All that Antichrist, in Jesus' name, keep coming out, up and out. Those Antichrist spirits, loose them and let them go. Loose them, loose them, loose them and let them go all the way out. All Antichrist spirits, go in the name of Jesus right now. Come out, come out. Those spirits that resist, those Ishmael spirits, you come out. Ishmael spirits. Come out, come out, producing an Ishmael, demonic Ishmael, something that's not born from above, but born from the flesh. Come out right now, those Ishmael spirits. Come out in Jesus' name. We rebuke those Ishmael spirits right now in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All Ishmael spirits, producing that which is of the flesh rather than that which is of the spirit and of the promise. You have to go in Jesus' name, Ishmael spirit. Go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way out. Jesus' name. Flow the blood of Jesus. Come out of there. Ishmael spirit, come out. Come out. That fleshly birth stuff, demonically birthed stuff. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way out. Come on. Keep going. Keep going. Up and out. Up and out of there. The blood is against you, demon. Come out. Keep coming out. Blood of Jesus. Be weakened by the blood and go. Go, 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 go. Come out. Come out. Come out. We rebuke Antichrist in Jesus' name. We rebuke that Antichrist. It's a religious spirit that sets it up like Christ sometimes, but it is really Antichrist. It looked like Jesus. It looked like Christ, but it is Antichrist. We come against rebellion, too, right now. That spirit of rebellion, just renounce it. Just say, I renounce rebellion in the name of Jesus. You come out of there. Go, go, go. All that rebellion in Jesus' name. Go, go, go. All the way out. All the way out, in Jesus' name, go, come out, 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 all the way out, in Jesus' name, keep going, all the way out, come on out, up and out, all those spirits of rebellion, we break the curse of rebellion, rebellion is that witchcraft, we break the curse of rebellion, come out, rebellion, don't want to be in rebellion, we want to be humble, we want to be yielded to the Lord and not rebellious to the word of the Lord, not rebellious to the Lord. Come out in Jesus' name. Go, go, go. All that rebellion, break the curse of that rebellion, break the curse of witchcraft. Come out. Come out. All the way out. All the way out. Go, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Go, 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 go. All the way out. Jesus' name. All the way out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for just giving us understanding, Lord. Understanding of the things of God, Lord. Lord, that let the revelation of it be clear. Then the power of God will manifest itself. When the revelation is clear, when the truth, it isn't truth until it's revealed truth. Revelation, knowledge, truth. Yes, Lord, just reveal these things to us, Lord, that we have been blind to. Open up the eyes of our understanding, Father, in Jesus' name. Show us where these spirits have lodged themselves and been a blockage for us, a hindrance for us in our lives. That spirit, you go right now, all the way out. Covetous spirit, just coveting what other people have, that covetousness. A lot of people are very covetous. You come out of there right now. Go in the name of Jesus. Those covetous spirits, we rebuke those coveting spirits. They're wanting to just have what other people have. Come out all the way out. In Jesus' name, come on out. All the way out. That covetous spirit, go. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All the way out. In Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus against you, covetousness. Go, 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 go. Go, don't covet your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's husband, your neighbor's stuff, what other people have. Come out, all that covetous spirit, go, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. You know, God wants us to have a mentality that we think like God thinks, okay? Think like God thinks, and we need to tell our spirit and our mind that we're going to say, I ordered you to praise God at all times, right? Because he said, rejoice in the Lord always. So you order your spirit. You order your head, your soul to praise God and to rejoice in him always. Amen? Because the word tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. See? Because out of the word is where your identity comes from. It comes out of the word. So you want to find out who you are? Well, then you find out who you are through the word of God, right? That's our new identity. That's what we have to replace these demons with. When these demons come out, we replace it with our new identity, the identity of the word, because that's our true identity, see? Amen. Amen. You know, Jesus will set you free. And the way to be free, one of the ways is to help it, that process take place, is to raise your word level. Your identity will come only out of the word. But we need to get our identity straight, especially if we go into these times of persecution of Christians. We need to get our identity straight. A lot of Christians don't have their identity straight in this hour. It's time to get your identity straight, and the identity comes right out of the word of God. That tells you who you are. You don't have to go around through life saying, who am I? Who am I? What am I? You know, no, the word of God will reveal it to you. It's very clear. Amen. Even in your most selfish moment, God wants more for you than you want for yourself. He has better for you than you think you have for yourself. God has always better than what we think we can have for ourselves, because God is good, right? Amen. And he's always good. Praise God. Father, we thank you for this deliverance tonight, the message tonight. We ask you to seal the deliverance that people have received tonight to them. And Lord, we thank you to continue to deliver them from every one of these wicked spirits, Lord, as we continue to grow in grace and truth. In Jesus' name, seal this deliverance. Thank you for giving them more. Thank you for continuing them in their walk with you and revealing truth to them in a tremendously great manner. Father, we thank you for doing that. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. All right, folks. Well, we've come to the end of another meeting together, another service, or whatever you like to call it, program, church service, whatever, radio church, and I'm glad you were here, and I love you, and thank you for tuning in. May the Lord abundantly bless you, in Jesus' name is my prayer. May he draw you ever nearer to him. May you be closer to him than you've ever been on this life, in this life, this year. May it continue to your walk continue to just grow, grow, grow. All right, saints. We love you. Good night. We'll see you back next week. Bye-bye. Amen. Well, that's a 7-minute song. A long song, but it's a good song. And praise God for it. And praise God for you if you listen to it tonight. And if you stayed to the end, well, I just speak health to your body. I speak blessing to your life in Jesus' name, you know. And we'll receive it. And I hope you receive it. And I pray you walk in it. And the grace will be abundant toward you every day of your life in Jesus' name. And that Jesus will answer your prayers, those that are prayed from the word. He will answer them. And you'll see the goodness of God in your lifetime. And it will not fail in Jesus' name. All right, we love you. Good night. And we'll see you back next week. Bye.